Welcome to the Court Report. Jerry Price here with Princeton Women's Basketball Coach Courtney Maghart. And Coach, welcome.
I'm so glad to be here.
First of all, congratulations on the Ivy League Championship, the outright Ivy League Championship, which was achieved this past weekend by the Tigers with wins over Brown on Friday night, Yale on Saturday night. Yeah. Congratulations.
Thank you so much. It was just really a magical weekend. Of course, I think, too, how comprehensive and all-inclusive a championship run is in terms of our strength coach dealing with the physicality of our players and our trainer dealing with their health and wellness, and then our assistants who become, you know, the pros of certain opponents and certain sides of the ball. And I went up there, up that ladder, and I'm just in such gratitude for the people that make this happen. And I certainly the team is, I'm a little bit embedded, and my hands are involved, and my personality is embedded in our team, but it's a team affair, and I'm thrilled.
And Warren,
yeah, he tells great stories. I thought, you know, he started the year off really well, I thought, with the summer read of the top 10 in my 10 years, and it just brought such a collective identity to the program. And then he handles the media requests. He handles the way in which we roll here. He's got the right demeanor for the what we share.
So we talked last week as you headed into the weekend where assuming you were going to be you were the favorite to win, how you just never take it for granted, never take an Ivy League championship for granted, and you know, I don't think you do that. I think that no matter what your goals are, the first step is to win the championship.
No doubt. It's hard to win, Jerry. I've realized that. I think probably as I've gotten older, I've realized that more and more. I've been a part of a lot of winning teams, and I got to say, it doesn't make it any easier to win. I mean, everyone's gunning for you, and all teams practice 6 days a week, and all teams recruit, and all institutions support their programs, and all kids care about winning, and it's really hard to do it, and to think, you know, I don't know how many all-league players I have on the team. And so are we the most talented team? I don't know. But we're gritty and we're the champions.
The big story from the game Friday night, other than the fact that it was just over before it started, it was a 16-point lead at the end of the first quarter, is the triple-double from Leslie Robinson.
Yeah.
It's presumably the first triple-double in Princeton history, the second, I believe, in Ivy League women's basketball history. The first was by a woman from Cornell in 1988.
Wow.
I looked up the men's once.
Yeah.
And I can tell you the men have never had one. The women... there are some games where the women had somebody who was – so, of course, assists weren't kept as a stat, I think, until the late 70s or early 80s.
Okay.
But there were games where women had steals in double figures and block shots in double figures and assists in double – no, not steals, block shots and assists in double figures. So I believe trying to confirm that those games didn't also include double figures and points and rebounds, but I don't believe they did. I think
it's a really rare stat. Really rare stat. You have to have a great basketball IQ. You have to impact both sides of the ball. The consistency. You know, she had it within reach, and I took her out. You know, because obviously we're preparing for a 48-hour weekend, and I said, "Hey, Les, you're short of it, but you know I got to have you for tomorrow." And about four minutes left in the game, she said, "Coach, can I give it a try?" And Leslie has very few asks. You're such a teammate. I said, "Of course, we're here to support you." And I put in Gabrielle Rush, who can really shoot the ball, in with her. But you know, it couldn't happen to a better kid, Jerry. You know that. You know the kid well. I mean, it just couldn't happen to a better kid.
So you know, forget the numbers themselves. It's not really that big of a deal if she had 9 points, 9 rebounds, or 15 rebounds and 9 assists. But to have double figures in those three categories is impressive enough. But one, if I had told you that a player on your team was going to have a triple-double, you would have said either Bella Allery or Carly Littlefield, not necessarily Leslie Robinson. But so what does it say about her that she has the ability to have a 15-rebound game, 10-assist game? And then second, her assist totals over the last few weeks have just been extraordinary. And it's not just – she's not just making a simple pass to the next person who's open. I mean, she's made some great passes in transition. She's made some great passes from distances.
Yeah.
You know, she's become a very good passer.
She's got great vision. She's willing. I say passing involves – you have to be willing, you have to have the skill, and you have to have the vision. And to have all three of those things is actually pretty rare at the elite level, and she's elite at all three of them.
You have to throw the pass – you can't wait till the person's wide open looking.
Absolutely.
You have to throw the pass before that.
That's the key, Jerry, is that, you know, someone like Bella, who draws so much attention, you know, I think we were holding on to it a second too long, and we're starting to trust the pass better. But you know, Leslie's had double doubles. She's had a lot of assists, as you said, and especially late. But you know, I always say this sounds so simple, but good things happen to good people, and she's a great leader, and she's earned everything she's gotten.
Bella's gonna have an 18-point, 14-rebound, 12-block shot game at some
soon,
point
soon, right? I hope, man. That kid getting better and better.
But still, I mean, for Leslie Robinson to have accomplished that. You know, it's extraordinary. I'm sure Bill Bradley had double figures in assists in games if their assists had been kept back then. But, you know, and he was in double figures in scoring and rebounding basically every game.
Yeah.
Do you know one thing about Bill Bradley that's just astonishing to me is everybody talks about career highs.
Yeah.
What was your career high? You remember?
38, senior night.
So you do remember.
I do remember. I only because it was Harvard and it was my senior night. Besides that, I mean, I don't even remember. I don't barely know our record. I mean, fans will ask me our record, and I'll look at Milena, my trusty assistant, and say, "What's our record?" So I don't usually remember numbers, but it was my senior night, so I remember that one.
So everybody knows career highs, and for Bill Bradley, it was 58, and he had that in the NCAA game against Wichita State. But it's career lows that nobody really focuses on.
Yeah.
And that's really a sign of consistency. And you know what the lowest point total Bill Bradley ever had in 3 years at Princeton was?
I should probably guess 12.
16. He never had a game with less than 16 wow. points. And keep in mind, there's no three-point shot here
right.
and no shot clock.
And the
so
games never get – it's never longer, right? It's a 40-minute game or never shorter, I mean.
Never had 16.
Wow.
Less than 16. It's extraordinary. But so it's great accomplishment for Leslie. It's not really a time to be talking about individual accomplishments, though, at this point of the year because – so you beat Brown, then you go into the game on Saturday night against Yale. Knowing full well that if you beat Yale, you get to share the outright championship.
Yeah.
That Yale beat you the first time around.
Yep.
And that you're very likely to play them again in a few days. And that's exactly what turned out. So what are you thinking before you go into that game?
You know, I thought there's tactical prep that needs to be understood. And then there's obviously execution. And I took care of the tactical side with our coaching staff. And I asked them to take care of the execution side. But to your point, I had said before the game, we're all motivated in different ways. And is it the fact that it's senior night? Is it the fact that it's revenge? Is it the fact that it's sole possession? It doesn't matter. What matters is that collectively it's a chance for us to do what we're trying to do, which is be gritty and accountable and locked in on the D end and continue to learn to play together on the offensive end.
So with that win, you have the Ivy League championship.
Yeah, so awesome.
There were nets to be cut down and it was senior night and a lot of trophy presentations and all that cool stuff.
Mm-hmm.
How much do you enjoy that versus when you enjoyed it before there was a tournament? So now you have to you have to sort of bounce the balls up again
yep.
and blow the balloon up again next weekend. Is it a different feeling or is it the same?
Gosh, I think it's the same. It's so special every year to think that over a 14-game Ivy League season, home away, play everybody twice, there's a banner that will forever stand in that gym for that group of people, that we're the best team in the gauntlet of home and away, the most consistently best team. Cutting the nets is just a blast. It's just simply, there's just nothing like it. And do it in your home gym. I'm still riding it.
So now it's Ivy League tournament time.
That's right.
And this is not an easy situation for your team. You have you're the top seed.
Yep.
The two seed is Penn, who is the defending champion, and it's their home court.
Yep.
And yes, you've beaten them twice this year. I don't want to say convincingly, but you've beaten them twice.
Yeah.
Where the final score might have been convincing, but of course they're still Penn and they're playing at home. And then you have Harvard, the three seed, so that's a potential opponent down the line,
mm-hmm.
who also beat you, has a double-figure win over you under their belt.
Yep.
And if I'm right, all 14 of your Ivy games were double figures, 12 wins, 2 losses, all
yeah,
double figures.
Yeah, you're right.
And then, of course, the first game is Yale, who has one of those double-figure wins over you. So
yeah.
you have two teams, the two teams that have beaten you both by double figures, so you split with them. You have Penn on their home court.
Yeah.
They're smarting from knowing that you've beaten them twice,
of
and
course.
Everybody always says it's hard to beat a team three times. So let's start with Yale.
Yeah,
was that's the Yale at Yale. They were in control basically from start to finish.
No
and
doubt.
Yes, they made
yeah.
shots that they revert to the mean over the course of a full season. They were 8 for 12 from 3-point range. If they're 8 for 12 from 3-point range in the first half of the game on Saturday Saturday evening, it's going to be the same kind of long night.
Yeah.
But let's just look at it from the whole of that. This time of year, you have to play somebody good, and now the challenge mm-hmm. is to play Yale for a third time and to play them for a second time in what will be 6 days
yeah.
or 7 days.
Yeah, a week. I love this part of it. I love that we have one game to prepare for, and kind of each weekend you have two games, and much like we do this weekend. But I love that part of it. I love breaking down our team and where we are and breaking down the other team and what adjustments need to be made and this is where I'm technically where I'm most needed. So I love this part. I'm looking forward to practice where I can make sure that they understand this is our overall game plan based on what we've seen. And then you roll the ball out and they get, college athletes get to be college athletes.
Do you think that there's carryover from one game to the next?
Absolutely.
Do you think that Yale is sitting there looking at the film from the game they won, the game they lost, saying this worked, this didn't work, and that can carry over again? Or, does some of that, are you an advanced analytics guy? I guess that's what I'm saying. Because
yeah.
the advanced analytics people will tell you none of that matters. It's mm-hmm. just the analytics of what your team is over the course of time that's going to dictate what's going to happen.
Yep.
The non-analytics people, who are the eye test people, are like, okay, I saw Yale be successful against Princeton doing this. This is the way to beat Princeton.
I think it's almost, I would say it's neither for me. It's more where, it's one thing to know how to beat a team, right? It's another thing to know what your team is capable of doing and how your team is capable of beating that team. And so it's not as much pen on paper and eye on film. It's you exhaust all of those things because that's what my job is. And then I've got to then infiltrate that with who on our team can do what on both ends, and then make a game plan based on both teams. So it's not like I have these faceless humans that this is the best game plan to beat Yale.
But I think that that's what advanced analytics is. They become faceless humans who are what your stats say you are.
Right, and I guess what I would say is that I'm more looking at it like I'm more relevant to where my group in combination with their scout.
I feel like advanced analytics tell you something but not everything, and the mm-hmm. thing is there's not a lot of people who think that. The advanced analytics crowd is like, this is it. Mm-hmm. You know, this tells you the whole story.
Yeah.
If you're too, if you're too old-fashioned to know that, then you're not fully taking advantage of an opportunity here.
I see.
And then the people who don't believe it are like, well, I could just watch the game. I don't need to see that. And yeah. I'm like, I'm kind of in the middle. Like, advanced analytics tell you a lot of things, but they don't tell you everything.
No, they don't. And again, I think the reason is because it might be, boy, we got to make sure we do X. But maybe your team is not great at X, and so you don't have the right person. That's what you can talk about, is it a good matchup? You know, and I think what makes Yale a tough matchup for everybody in our league is that Coach Allison Guth has them playing really hard and has them playing with a lot of trust and belief, and I think that's true of all four of the teams remaining, is there's you're not going to be able to outwork somebody. You're going to have to beat them.
So did you learn anything from last year's tournament that you think helps you this year? Because it was the first time for everybody last
year.
Yeah,
it was. You know, I think with last year's tournament, we were in a different spot. It gives you a chance to upset the team that deservedly should go to the tournament. So, you know, I think whenever you make massive decisions about a group of people, you have to take your institutional cap off and what's best for the game, what's best for the league. And so last year it was really just a, let's see what this is like. But we've been to enough, I'm very fortunate, we've been to enough tournaments here that this is a pretty tournament-tested group. So it is what it is.
And so the game against Yale is 6 o'clock on Saturday. So last year the women's number one seed played and four seed played first, then mm-hmm. men, women. This year, dictated by television on the men's side, goes men at 1 and 3:30, women at 6 and 8:30. So the championship game for the women is 4 o'clock on Sunday.
Right.
The winner of your game has 2.5 to 3 hours more turnaround time.
Yep.
The second game winner, you know, that game's going to start at 8:30.
Yeah.
It's going to end at 10:30, and they're going to have to play the next day at 4 o'clock.
Yeah.
Does that matter at all?
You know, I think these are college athletes that are just so excited to be competing at this level. I don't think it matters a ton. I think the worst thing is when you're driving from Cornell to Columbia. You know, once you've survived that road trip, you can survive anything.
And so as we look forward to the to the tournament,
I'm having a coughing fit here.
I tried to turn your sound down really quickly, but
we're a team.
So anyway, as we look forward to the tournament, when you go to the NCAA tournament and you've been there 6 times, that's where it all becomes about, like, all the external stuff and trying to keep that off of the player's focus. So you have the tickets and the travel and the everything
so many
around
details.
That. Right, exactly. The Ivy tournament, I would think, is somewhere in between a regular season weekend and that. But did you find last year to be, you know, easy to keep everybody focused?
I give all the credit to Megan Williams, our director of operations. She's such a servant leader, and she's so detail-oriented that, I mean, I barely knew we had a pass list. I just knew that these are the four people that I needed to be at the game that needed tickets. She takes care of every detail. I'm just along for the ride in that respect. And again, I think that just speaks to our staff. Everyone does what they're supposed to do at a high level. Championship teams are not one guy doing something really well. And so I'm playing my role as best I can, and I can assure you that my support staff is as well.
So it's Princeton versus Yale. The first seed is Princeton. The fourth seed is Yale. That game is at 6 o'clock at the Palestra. 8:30, it'll be second seeded Penn and third seeded Harvard. On the men's side, it's Harvard and Cornell.
That's Brian, right. Brian Earl.
And, you know, Brian, we want to congratulate him for getting his team. Obviously,
no doubt.
We're disappointed Princeton is not there, but just want to make sure we congratulate Brian for the job that he did.
And yeah, no doubt. Getting into the tournament is, you know, like, even when you just said, Jerry, 6 NCAA tournaments, I was like, gosh, that's so great. And so I know Brian's guys are thrilled. I'm sure the whole institution is as well.
And so it's Harvard, Cornell, and then Penn-Yale on the men's side. And Honestly, I have no idea how tickets work. If it's you can buy one ticket for the entire
now,
thing,
I think, or because the women are together, you can either get them all at once or you can get two different sessions. And the fact that the Yale games match up, that might really help the Yale fan base.
So I mean, I feel like attendance will probably be pretty good, and you know, for whatever people's take on the tournaments are. I mean, you know, they were certainly exciting last year, and they certainly, you know, accomplished a lot of what they set out to accomplish, which is to give, you know, more than just the teams playing for the first spot a sense of, you know, importance in their season as it reaches the conclusion. As we feel bad for Courtney McLaren.
I know. Hey, I'm gonna be well soon. I'm glad it's me and not my players.
So anyway, it's Princeton and Yale. That's 6 o'clock at the Palestra on Saturday. The championship game for the men is 1 o'clock. Noon on Sunday. The women's championship game is 4 o'clock Sunday. ESPN 3 for the two semifinals for the women. ESPNU for the championship game for the women.
Yeah.
We will commit to being back here next week, win or lose. We will commit to. Having another court report for the week after, whenever the season ends. Hopefully it won't be for a while. So, and
that's right.
Also, is it on the men's side, the team that wins the regular season is guaranteed an NIT bid?
No, that's the women's side.
The men's side's like that too. So now if Harvard is the number one seed on the men's side, so if they don't win the tournament, they're guaranteed a spot in the
NIT. Oh, great.
So you are guaranteed postseason.
Oh, for sure. Yep. And I think there's – the kids are in that. We have 22-5, and it's crazy. I can't be more grateful for all the fans. I can only imagine the emails I got from Princeton alumni or texts congratulating us on the men's and women's side for Princeton. I think we'll have a good fan base there.
So we'll look forward to the Ivy tournament. We'll be back here next week, and then we'll be back here after that as we look forward to postseason. Hopefully it'll be the NCAA tournament. Could be the WNIT, but whatever. We'll be here with Coach Courtney Banghart. Coach, we'll let you go before you have another choking fit. Hope you feel better.
Thanks a lot. Thanks for your patience.
You see, one thing you have to learn is from years and years and years of doing radio, you can – use the Ricola with while you do this. You didn't have to.
I know, but then I'd sound like a trucker. So I'm trying to at least sound the part.
Okay. Well, this has been the Court Report. And for Princeton Women's head coach, Courtney Banghart, once again, congratulations on the Ivy League championship.
Thanks,
good luck
Jerry.
To you in the Ivy League tournament. And once again, thanks to everybody for their support of Princeton Women's basketball.